Praise the Lord. So the reason why I shared this video is I wanted to show how baptism is a tradition that happened very early in the church. We know this because the Gospels teach it. But one of the things that are very divisive among denominations today is what is baptism? What does baptism look like? And many different Christian denominations have different traditions on how to follow. In the Bible, a lot of people say, they take the Gospel of Acts, for example, Acts chapter 16, and they say that there is, the family of the jailer was completely baptized. And so some denominations like the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, and even some of the older traditional believers believe that it is okay to baptize little children. The Bible does not teach this. The earliest document that we have as Christians, it is called the Didache, Didache. It's the document that was written around the time that the apostles wrote the Gospels, right before 90 AD. Even before 90 AD, this document was written. It is the earliest document we have, Christian document that we have, that records Christian worship. The earliest document we have. And in this document, it says that if a person has to be baptized, that person has to fast for a few days. Both the person who's baptized and the person who's being baptized has to fast for a few days. You can't make a baby fast for a few days. This was the tradition of the early church. It was a believer's baptism. Baptism was not given to babies or infants. It was given to grown adults who admitted that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and have followed him into full repentance and admit that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. This is a conscious decision that is made by believers, and they're stepping into the baptism call. A lot of people debate over this, but I just want to be clear that the early church and the early church practice, even the documents that we recorded, there is no difference that there was any infants baptized. It was only believers, grown believers who were baptized. Anyway, I just wanted to share that because as we're going into Romans chapter 6, the really important topic that comes up is believers' baptism. We looked as we're going into Romans and we've been studying it so far. We've been studying about what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to escape the wrath of God, which is poured out against the whole world, because all of us are sinners? And yet God called out Jews to be set apart. They were chosen, they were elect, they were set apart by God, and they received a covenant from God. They received a testament, they received a law. And we know it as the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Law, Alengil Parayanima. You know that the Jewish people have received this promise. But then Paul redefines what it means to be a Jew. He's not a person who's experienced physical circumcision, but a person who's experienced spiritual circumcision. As we continued going even deeper, we understood that what does it mean to be saved? What is salvation? And we looked at three different forms of salvation. There's three different parts. One is justification by faith, a person who's put righteous before God, who's made righteous before God. And then we have sanctification by our works, which is again the works that the Holy Spirit has done in us. It is the Holy Spirit in us that sanctifies us. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at glorification, the hope of glory, which is what we look forward and we anticipate eagerly to see our Lord and Savior and to be like him in glorified bodies. So as we go at 2 weeks ago, when we were looking at it, Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 5, how there are two types of humanity, one that has come through the first Adam and one that has come through the second Adam. And the first Adam's humanity is the humanity of the flesh, which we all are. And then there is the humanity of Jesus in which we have to be reborn. So this is the process that we're coming down to. And now Paul is going to talk about how the children of God or any person who's born under the first Adam can now become reborn under the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ. This is what the chapter is talking about. This is what we're going to look at, and we're going to look at water baptism, or a baptism, or a believer's baptism. So let us read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Roma Legnam, Aramadhyayam, Onnu Mudal, Yeram Vakyam. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do we not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from him. Let us just close our eyes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Father, for your scripture. We thank you, Father, for your word. Father, Lord, I thank you that you made a way for us to be joined to you, to be a part of this new humanity, to be a part of this new covenant, to be a part of this new law, to be filled with your spirit and to live in the newness of life. I pray, God, that, Lord, each one of us will wake up to the privilege it is to be called your child, to be the son and daughter of the King of the Most High. I pray, Lord, that many people who have not yet experienced this privilege of knowing you, when they hear your words, when they hear the scripture that is being spoken today, that they will come back into the fold, that they will come to know you as the real God and the real Father, that they will accept your words, that they will make you their Lord and Savior over their life, and more than that, that they will take believer's baptism, that they will become disciples following you in their footsteps and agreeing that, God, you are their King, you are their Lord, you are their Master. I pray that each one of us, Lord Jesus, if there's any one of us who's hearing this prayer and needs to follow you in the commandment of believers' baptism, that they will take it upon themselves today to obey you and to follow in the footsteps so that they can become a member of the family of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing us. Continue to speak to us. Equip me as I speak your words. Equip the people to hear your words, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move and move where I cannot move. Let it change our hearts and transform us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jayam Jayam Hallelujah Jayam Jayam Yepporum Jayam Jayam Hallelujah Jayam Jayam Yepporum Ishnada Namathilum Jayam Jayam Yepporum Ishnada Namathilum Jayam Jayam Yepporum. This is a song that we sing when the person, the believer, is going into the baptism pool. It is a very happy song. We are singing victory, 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 victory in Jesus' name. Victory, 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 victory. Why we are singing this? Because it's such a joyful event. I've never seen anyone sing JM with sad face. Everyone is happy. Everyone is joyful. Everyone is enjoying. It's a celebration what baptism happens. I remember when I was baptized many years ago, I was 11 years old, and I was in the baptism pool as we went in. I was so expectant going in. I was so sure that when I went into the water, that a dove, like a white dove, will come and rest on me. Now, I should have imagined that that would not happen because there was a huge canopy over us and there is no dove that could have direct access to the pool. But I imagined that could happen. So I went into the water, and the water was really cold. I went into the water, but then, you know, the pastor, you know, held my nose and put me under the water, brought me up, and nothing happened. And I still came up, but it was a beautiful experience. It's most of us if not all of us, remember the time that we were baptized. And it was a joyful experience for us. The first time we went in and we decided to obey the water commandment. And I remember before the water baptism, we had a class. We had a class on what baptism looked like. What does baptism teach? Most times we were fasting and praying before we were baptized. This is just a regular practice of a believer. Now, if we look at the history of baptism, water baptism is not a Christian tradition. Water baptism is a tradition that originated in Judaism even before Jesus came. Even before John the Baptist came, water baptism was common. Water baptism to this day is being done by Jewish people. The only way a non-Jewish person can convert and become a Jew is by experiencing water baptism. They have to dip under the water and then they will be, there's certain laws that have to be done. It has to be free flowing water. And all of these rules are there for a person to be converted to Judaism. So when John the Baptist appears on the scene and says that people need to be baptized, it is not a foreign concept. Jewish people already know that water baptism is for people who were not Jewish to repent and come into the special fold of God to be considered a Jewish family member. So when John the Baptist tells Jewish people that you need to repent and be baptized, it's not a new message. It is a message that Jewish people preach to non-Jewish people. If you want to become a Jewish person today also, if you want to become an Orthodox Jew, now we are not Jew, right? Like we don't have the blood of the Jew in us. But if you want to become an Orthodox Jew, you go to a rabbi, there's a whole interview process. And once you pass that interview process and they can say that you really want to become a Jew, they train you and then they do water baptism for you. To this day, they do it. But when John the Baptist came, he preached a new message. He said, you who are a Jew, you need to get water baptized. That's the new message that John the Baptist preached. He is saying that those people who have the blood of Abraham flowing through their vein, even though they are Jew by birth, they need to be baptized because they are not repentant before God. And so John the Baptist came and prepared this message of repentance and told people to come and get baptized. That is why the Pharisees did not want to get baptized, because they were against this idea. They're like, I am a traditional Jew. I have the blood of the Abraham running, my father Abraham running through me. I don't need to get water baptized. I'm a Jew. I don't need water baptism. But all these people who heard the message came to John the Baptist and got baptized in River Jordan. When Jesus came, Jesus changed the message completely. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a foreign concept. He said that when you are being baptized, Paul teaches here, we are baptizing into the death of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, we are baptizing into the death of Jesus Christ. There are three parts when you saw the pool, the early pools, the pools that the early churches built for their baptisms. There are three different features that are often common. One is a wash basin. Like when you go to wash your hands in a sink, it's a wash basin. So you have the place that looks like a wash basin. The second picture is like the cross or a tomb where you step down into a place and then you come up. That's the most common ones that we might have mostly experienced, going down to a place and then coming up. So this is again marking death, like going to the tomb and then coming up into resurrection or new life. The third one that we don't see anymore, but was the most common expression among the early church, was the sign of a womb. Udder, like it's a womb or a uterus. The sign was that a baby is being born, that a new person is coming out of new life. Where is this image that we first see this image? It is Jesus speaking to the Pharisee Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a great Pharisee teacher, comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him the way to the Father, the way to the eternal life, is unless you are reborn, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus is asking then, is this a very foreign concept to him? He's like, how can I go back into my mother's womb? How do you expect me to be reborn? And Jesus says, unless you are reborn of water and of spirit. There are two baptisms that are really important. Water and spirit. That is the rebirth that Jesus was talking about. The baptism of water and the baptism of spirit. John the Baptist, when Jesus came to get baptized, says, even before he came, says, I baptize you with water, but there is one that is coming after me who will baptize you with fire, and I am not worthy to touch his sandals. So the baptism of Jesus is different from the baptism of John, which is repentance. The baptism that we see here that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 6 is talking about the baptism of water, of dying and raising up to Christ. But also remember, there is a second baptism. The second baptism is baptism of the Holy Spirit. These two are really different and two are very important. Water baptism and fire baptism. Water baptism and spirit baptism. So for us as Pentecostals, it's very clear. We know water baptism and we know Holy Spirit baptism. We both know both concepts. But when we are teaching here, we're going to look at what water baptism means. And this is really important. It's very elementary. It's basic. Almost all Christian traditions have water baptism, except I think Salvation Army. Most other Christian denominations have water baptism. So when we are looking at this concept here, let's go dig deeper into scripture and see what Paul is talking about. Paul is asking, just because our grace, we experience grace, can we continue in sin? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died in sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? So this is the first part about baptism. When we are being baptized, we are being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. First step. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we too might walk in newness of life. Again, so let me explain this. In Christianity, the concept of dying is rich. Unless you die, you will not get new life. Those who are willing, Jesus says, those who are willing to lay down their life will gain it, and those who try to gain their life will lose it. The Bible is constantly filled with metaphors that talk about dying. Die to yourself. Deny yourself daily. Taking up the cross. What is the cross? Cross is an image, an instrument of death. So literally Jesus and even the early disciples were constantly saying, die, die, die. And this is not an attractive message. If you come into any message where everyone is telling you, die, die, that's a very morbid thought. For us, we are so used to talking about crucifixion, dying to yourself, denying yourself, die to your desires, kill all the desires in you, that we have become desensitized to the word death and dying to ourselves. But to the early Christians, they were not desensitized. They constantly heard it and they were like, what is this new message? They're saying always dying, 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 dying. Jesus says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not produce fruit. So for Christians, at the very core concept, it requires dying. What does this dying mean? It means that you cannot live like how your old life used to be. We cannot live how we were in our old life. We have to live in the newness of life. So in this example that we looked into, that Jesus Christ was being baptized into his death, let me use this example. When a seed is dying, is falling to the ground and it dies, what happens to it? It sprouts and it produces new life. What kind of lives were we before Christ? Christ varana munpe nammude jeevanam endayirunnu? Nammal manushyanayirunnu. We are humans. We are humanity. And the body that we have is the body of like sinful Adam. Paavam cheytha Adaminte body aanu nammude deham. So for me to put myself down to say that I'm no longer belonging to this family of Adam, but I'm belonging to the family of Christ, it requires me to kill this person so I can come in this new person, new form. Does that make sense? Unless I die, the new person cannot come up. Only if a seed dies can it get new life. So in the same way, Jesus and the early disciples were teaching the disciples or Christian believers that we had to kill the old humanity so that we can become the new humanity. പഴയ മനുഷ്യൻ അല്ലെങ്കിൽ പഴയ ഹ്യൂമാനിറ്റിയെ കൊന്നിട്ട് പുതിയ ഹ്യൂമാനിറ്റിയിലോട്ട് ജീവിതം വരാൻ ഉള്ള ഒരു മാർഗമാണ് ബാപ്റ്റിസം. സ്നാനം എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാൽ പുതിയ ജീവിതത്തിന്റെ തുടക്കമാണ്. ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദ ന്യൂ ലൈഫ്. ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ ബിഗിനിങ് ഓഫ് എ ന്യൂ ലൈഫ്. വി കാനോട്ട് ലിവ് ലൈഫ് ലൈക് ഹൗ വി ലിവ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ ഓൾഡ് ലൈഫ് ഇഫ് വി ആർ സ്റ്റാർട്ടിംഗ് ദ ന്യൂ ലൈഫ്. പഴയ ജീവിതം പോലെ നമുക്ക് ജീവിക്കാൻ ഇനിയും പറ്റത്തില്ല. വി കാനോട്ട് ലിവ്. വി ലിവ് ഇൻ ദ ന്യൂനെസ് ഓഫ് ലൈഫ്. സം പീപ്പിൾ ദാറ്റ് ഐ ആസ്ക്, സം ക്രിസ്ത്യൻസ് ആർ ദേർ, ദേ ആർ സെയിങ് എനിക്ക് സ്നാനം എടുക്കാൻ താല്പര്യമില്ല. ചോദിക്കുക, എന്താ, ഞാനിപ്പോൾ ഒരു പാവിയാണ്, ഐ എം എ സിന്നർ, ഐ എം കണ്ടിന്യൂസ്ലി സിന്നിങ്, ഐ വോണ്ട് ടു ഫിക്സ് മൈസെൽഫ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഐ വിൽ കം ടു ദ ഫെയ്ത്ത്. ഐ വോണ്ട് ടു ലിവ് എ റൈറ്റിയസ് ലൈഫ് ഓർ ഹോളി ലൈഫ് ബിഫോർ ഐ കം ടു ദ ഫെയ്ത്ത്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ റോങ് കോൺസെപ്റ്റ്. Because it is only in the newness of life where we can stop the old humanity. You cannot live the new humanity life without killing the old man. And the only way to get to live in this new life is by baptism. The minute you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're ready. There is nothing that should stop you from being baptized. Everything that is holding you back, you should throw as an obstacle. What does it mean to say Jesus is your Lord and Savior? You're saying that he is your master. We taught this. Jesus is your master. He is our Lord. He is the one who saved us. That means that you are willing to obey every command that Jesus says. And the commandment that Jesus gives us is, be baptized. Be baptized. Become my disciple. If a person is saved and accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior, there should be no reason why they don't get baptized. Anything that holds you back from not getting baptized, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and your Master, means that you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because if someone is your Lord and Savior, you will accept it fully, whatever commandment he teaches. So the minute you say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, you have to obey in water baptism. This whole idea that we have is, you have to become born again. Be born again. Be born again. Be born again. And we say, how do you become born again? How do we become born again? You accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you proclaim with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not true. This whole concept of being born again is not not tied in with accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. In John chapter 3, Jesus says that to be born again means being born of water and of spirit. So if a person has to be born again, they have to be water baptized. And they have to seek the baptism of the Spirit. Both of these things are required for being born again. We teach things wrong. Being born again is accepting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that. But it says what? What does Romans chapter 10 verse 9 say? It says that to receive salvation. But the minute you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the next thing you should do is you have to say, I'm ready for water baptism. The next step, there should be nothing that stops you from water baptism if he's your Lord and Savior. It's a tough message, but this is the biblical message. You would be hard-pressed to find anything else in the Bible that teaches that born again is different from this experience. We still use it in our language. When were you born again? If someone asked me, when was I born again? I'll say I was born again when I was 7 years old. But I was baptized when I was 11 years old. I use this because that's the language that everybody understands. But literally the biblical understanding of being born again is when you were baptized with water and being baptized with the Spirit. That is when you are born again into the newness of life. That is why Paul says, that is when they're born into the newness of life. The early church got this. That is why their baptism pool was shaped like a womb. Because when the person came out of the womb, they were a new person. They were reborn. They were born again. Does that make sense? They were reborn. They were born again. They were born into the newness of life. What does baptism mean? Baptism means being one with Christ. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without being water baptized. Let me say that again. You cannot be a disciple of Christ without experiencing believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is acknowledging that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, confessing it with your mouth, following in the commandment of water baptism, coming out and saying, yes, I am one among the family of God, and you can take Holy Communion together. Why? Because now you're a member of the family and the member of the body of Christ. Because who takes Holy Communion? You're a member of the body of Christ. When you break into the bread and you drink of the wine cup, നിങ്ങൾ അപ്പത്തിന്റെ അംശങ്ങൾ അല്ലെങ്കിൽ നിങ്ങൾ പാനപാത്രത്തിന്റെ, you are all drinking from one cup and you are eating from the same bread. It means we are one. We are one family. That means that we have to be water baptized to be a member of the family of God, to be a member of Jesus Christ, to be united with Christ. Any other teaching that is different from the teaching that I just told you is not biblical teaching. Any other teaching that teaches you anything else that is different from this is not biblical teaching. Otherwise, find the verses in the Bible and come to me. I am yet to find any verse in the Bible that teaches otherwise. Baptism is a commandment that God gives us. Baptism is a commandment that's given only to believers who are able to make that conscious decision. Baptism is for the unification of us with Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's read a few more tougher verses which are talking about what does it mean to live in this newness of life. Let us read verse 12 to 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lust, and do not go presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. From verses 12 to 14, Roman Leganam, Aramatheam, Pandran Mudal, Panalam Waking Alanya Vaichada, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 14 are the verses I just read. And it's talking about certain differences of a person who lives, who have become baptized, who are reborn. It means that you cannot live according to the old way. Pare manishinde jeevitham pole jeevikan iniyum padilla. You are not supposed to live according to the old way. Nammal pudhiya manishanaanu. We are new humanity. We are new man. We are born under Jesus. When the old man goes into the baptism pool, the old man dies. And then the new man rises up and starts walking into the newness of life. The old man is gone. You buried him. In the baptism pool, he's gone away. Pare Joel ini illa. He's gone. Pudhya Joel. Who is this new Joel? He's a member of the body of Christ. He no longer belongs according to the old man. He's now a new member of a new body. In verses 12 to 14, we can see a couple of things. We are not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. We are not to give in to our bodily lust. We are not to present our bodies as members of unrighteousness. And sin is not our master, because we are not under law. Let us read. But on verses 13 to 14, it says that a person who is brought into the new life is alive from dead. His instruments is from righteousness and he's under grace. He's not under law, but under grace. Let us read verse 19 and I will end my words soon. Verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. If in the old time we were living as slaves to sin, paapathinte adimilayirunnu nammal, we were under the grip of sin, we were under the law of sin, we were slaves of sin. All our actions were lawlessness and unrighteousness. In the newness of life, nammal righteousness, neethiyude adimila. We are under the grip of righteousness. We are slaves of righteousness. And we are now resulting in sanctification. In the old, we were leading to lawlessness, sin, and death. Here, we're leading to sanctification, to holiness, to eternal life. Nithya jeevithathinte aadyatha step aanu snanam. Eternal life's first step is water baptism, believer's baptism. This is the step that makes you a member of the body of Jesus Christ. I want to read that Paul says that literally in this chapter, verses 22 and 23, Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is very simple. Very simple. When we are living under the newness of life, we put to death the activities of flesh. We die to ourselves daily. Ella dosam nammal nammalde pare manushinodu nammal marikkunnundu. We have to kill that man because that person wants to rise up. Thirichu jeevan prabhikkan ella dosam ingane irunekkan nokkum. Nammal suppress cheyanam. Pakshe nammalde നമ്മളുടെ പവറിൽ പറ്റത്തില്ല. പരിശുദ്ധാത്മാവിന്റെ കൃപയാൽ നമുക്ക് ആ മനുഷ്യനെ കൊല്ലാം. We can kill that old man through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the first step is water baptism. Children of God, if there is any among you who have said that Jesus Christ is your Lord, Jesus Christ is your Master, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you have to follow him in believer's baptism. If the baptism you received before was not a believer's baptism, it is not good. Your baptism has to be a believer baptism. Your father and mother cannot believe for you to get baptized. You have to say, I have to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You know, but this is just the beginning. ഇത് തുടക്കം മാത്രം, സ്നാനം തുടക്കമാണ്. എല്ലാവരുടെയും സ്നാനം കഴിഞ്ഞ് ജയം ജയം ഹല്ലേലൂയ പാട്ട് പാടി പുറത്തു വരുമ്പോൾ യുനോ പാസ്റ്റർ സ്നാനം ചെയ്ത് കഴിഞ്ഞിട്ട് മലയാളത്തിൽ ഒരു ഒരു സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ഉണ്ട്. എന്താണ് ആ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ്? എനിക്ക് ഇറ്റ്സ് ലൈക്ക് അന്ത്യത്തോളം വിശ്വസ്തർ ആയിപ്പീൻ പിന്നെ നിങ്ങൾ ജീവ കിരീടം പ്രാപിക്കും. ഐ പ്രോബബ്ലി ബുട്ചേർഡ് ഇറ്റ്, ബട്ട് ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ്: ഇഫ് യു ആർ ഫെയ്ത്ത്ഫുൾ ടു ദി എൻഡ് ഓഫ് യുവർ ലൈഫ്, യു വിൽ റിസീവ് ദ ക്രൗൺ ഓഫ് ലൈഫ്. സ്നാനം ഇസ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് സ്റ്റെപ്പ്. ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് ടു റിമെയിൻ ഇൻ ദ ന്യൂനെസ് ഓഫ് ലൈഫ്. And then we will get the crown of life. So ippol ningalde chodyam verarund. Now your question will rise. Njan snanam kaiyitte njan paapam cheythu. I did sin. Pinneyum njan paapam cheythu. Ariyathu cheythittund, arinjittu cheythittund. I have done sin knowingly and unknowingly. I have grieved my Lord. Is there any salvation left for me? രണ്ടാഴ്ചയിൽ ഞാൻ റോമൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 7 എടുക്കുമ്പോൾ ഞാൻ ഐ വിൽ ഷോ യു ദാറ്റ് ദേർ ഇസ് ഹോപ്പ്. വെൻ വി ഗോ ഇൻ ടു റോമൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 7, ഐ വിൽ ടെൽ യു ദാറ്റ് ഡോണ്ട് വറി, യു ഹാവ് ടു ഒബേ ഹിം ഇൻ വാട്ടർ ബാപ്റ്റിസം, ബിലീവേഴ്സ് ബാപ്റ്റിസം. ബട്ട് ഇഫ് യുവർ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഇസ് ഹൗ കെൻ ഐ റിമെയിൻ വിതൗട്ട് സിന്നിങ്, ഡോണ്ട് വറി, ദി ഏർലി ക്രിസ്ത്യൻസ് ഓൾസോ ഹാഡ് ദ സെയിം പ്രോബ്ലം. പോൾ അഡ്രസ്സസ് ദിസ് ഇൻ റോമൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 7. When we get there, all your questions will be answered. Don't worry. But if anything is standing as an obstacle from you experiencing water baptism, today is the day. Make the decision that I want to obey Christ. I want to be water baptized. Message Saji Pastor. Tell him, I want to obey Jesus Christ and the commandment of water baptism. We will pray for you. We will teach you. We will take a baptism class and teach you what is the truth of water baptism. And you will be a member of the family of God. And together we will sing, Jayam, Jayam, Hallelujah, Jayam, Jayam, Epporum. We will sing, Victory, Victory, in the name of Jesus, Victory, Victory, always. It is a joyful occasion when you join the member of the family. In the same way, let us just bow our heads and pray. Father God, this teaching where people can join you, where people can no longer live in the oldness, where the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Father, by just going into the baptism pool and dying to ourselves, we get this gift of eternal life. We subscribe to your body. We become a member of your body. But Lord, I know that some of us struggle. Some of us are living in guilt, shame, worry. Father, will you cleanse us with the blood of the Lamb? If there is any doubts or any obstacle that stands in the path for anyone to follow the commandment of believers' baptism, will you remove that obstacle? There is no greater joy than for us to become a member of the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that any person who's not a member, any person who doesn't want to join as a member, Lord, I pray that you will change their mind. Say, I want to be a member. I want to be a part of Christ's body. I want to be one with Christ's body. I want to be one with the church. Pray that you bless this church, that we will see many more baptisms in the coming weeks, that we will see many more people who will want to say, I want to be baptized and to join into the body of Christ. Not to join KPC, but to join into the global church of God. Thank you, Father, for doing this. I pray that all of us, Lord Jesus, will be anointed with the power of the Spirit and anointed with the water baptism that you've given to us, so that we are going into this born-again experience in the newness of life. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today. Let your name be glorified to us. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. May God bless you all with these words. Thank you.